This morning we continue with our memory verse found in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. Before we read that, we'll read that together. Last week we talked about taking a thank you or a praise walk, and I'm not going to have a show of hands, but I know I've been trying to practice it. You try to practice what you preach, right? And I had a good ride on the way to church this morning, you know, just getting up and didn't seem all that cold out this morning and just thanking God for how he has blessed us, of course, the Wright family, the church, and stuff like that. So I hope you guys continue to do that kind of thing. Thank God every day. And we're here at Thanksgiving time, and so it's really appropriate for us to do that, but just not around Thanksgiving time, every day, thank God. Galatians 3, 24 through 25. We'll put that up there, and remember, we say the scripture reference and a couple verses here, and we'll say the reference again. Galatians 3, 24 through 25. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Galatians 3, 24 through 25. We read that passage from John chapter 6. You heard a little bit about it, Jesus as the bread of life. I want you to raise your hand if you have read or heard the true story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Who's heard of that before? For heaven's sakes, you better all raise your hands. You've all been in church all your lives. Okay. Well, Jesus had such an awesome ministry that really met people where they were, and then many times these miraculous things would happen. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to flip with me to John chapter 6. We're not going to read the same scriptures here. We're going to read something a little bit different. And if you don't have a Bible, there is one right in front of you. You can flip it open to page 754 in your pew Bible, and you'll be right there. So John chapter 6, and then page 754 in your pew Bible if you want to look it up. Now, I'm going to start in verse 1. John chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 9. So hang in there with me. And what I like to tell people to do is just kind of underline what you think it hits you. Kind of in the noggin as you go through, or mark it up. It's good, I think, to take some notes in your Bible and stuff. So here we go, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside, sat down with his disciples, and the Jewish Passover festival was near. And when Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming toward him, and he said to Philip, "Well, what should we buy, or where should we buy bread for the people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Well, Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will that go among so many?" I'm going to stop right there. So I know several of our ladies on Wednesday night went through this exact same scripture at Bible study, but as Stacy was preparing, it was her turn to lead. She was preparing. We were at home, and she was reading this to me and asking me a couple of questions about it. And the story hit me a new way. We didn't have any reference books with us or anything like that, but as she was reading, I think God spoke through her to teach me something that I never thought about before. And so we've just read that scripture 1 through 9. When you think about it, Jesus is so masterful. He's setting his disciples up for a huge lesson right here. I mean, in fact, many, many lessons if you really want to dig deep. And this huge crowd of people, they followed Jesus because they saw the signs and the miracles that he performed. That's why they were following him. At least that's what it says right here. That's why they were following him. And Jesus sees this huge crowd and tests one of his disciples, Philip. And he says, "Look, Philip, you see this huge crowd? There's thousands of people here, Philip. Now, we can't have a revival, we can't have a conference, we can't have an all-day session without feeding these guys. Where are we going to find food? Well, Jesus knew where the true food was, didn't he? But did Philip at the time? Now, there's no way the towns close by would have enough bread for these folks to eat. And even if they had enough barley, if they had enough wheat, it wouldn't have been made up, right? It doesn't take like 5 minutes to make bread. It takes a little bit longer than that. So if they found some barley or whatever, it would all have to be cooked and made and everything. The day would be done by the time they got some food over there. Plus, not only having to make it, they'd have to deliver it. And you know, back then it wasn't like walking into Myers or Walmart or Kroger or wherever your favorite place is, where we have loaves and loaves a go-go on the shelf, right? Just take them off, let's go. We can feed everybody. Fortunately, there was this kid loafing around. And he was loafing around the area with some bread and fish. Andrew, another of Jesus' disciples, he protests when Jesus asks him this question. Hey, where are we going to get this food? And then that little boy comes up and gives the loaves and the fish. And Andrew's like, seriously? I mean, how far are these two fish and five loaves going to go? This is impossible. Now listen, I know one man who could eat all of that in one sitting. The other night was Bro Tuesday, and about 14 of us from church met at the Golden Corral in Lafayette. Pastor Tim came back to the table, and he looked like T-Rex, a big T-Rex. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. His first plate, he's a carnivore beyond all carnivores I've ever seen. And he had this meat piled high. And if you've ever been to Golden Corral, I haven't been there for several years, but right, they have steak. I think you had steak, pork roast. What else did you have? Ham, pork chops, chicken, prime rib. It was, I'm not lying, it was all on one plate. And there was nothing else there. It was unbelievable. It was piled so high it looked like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? And so when he's coming back to sit at our table, all eyes in the restaurant are what? On it. He sets it down, the table alters like this a little bit, you know, kind of thing. But on his fourth plate, even Chandler, who was a youth, was there. Chandler's a big eater, great guy, great kid. He was trying to keep up, and when he finished and he saw Pastor Tim come with one more plate, he says, if he eats that plate, I myself am going to throw up. Two fish and five loaves of bread. That's nothing. That's nothing. So it made sense that Jesus' disciple Andrew would protest, it's not enough food, Lord. Have you ever seen Pete eat? Your disciples, have you seen how much those guys eat? This is impossible. But what Andrew didn't know at the time was that his protest echoed what God's servant Elisha. Some of you might remember Elisha from the Old Testament. Elisha had a servant. And Elisha's servant said something very similar hundreds of years earlier. Let's take a look at 2 Kings, if you would. Pick up the story there. 2 Kings chapter 4. And if you're looking at your pew Bibles, it's found on page 263. So 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 42. Says, a man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing a man of God 20 loaves of barley bread, baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat, Elisha said. Well, how can I set this before 100 men? His servant asked. See, he's thinking the same thing. There's no way this is going to be able to feed 100 men. But Elisha answered, he says, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate, and they had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. So you have 100 people present back in that story, 20 loaves of bread, and usually the loaves of bread were pretty small, right? We can make huge ones today, but they made these small loaves, and Elisha's servant said, just like Andrew, this is crazy. I can't set this little amount of food out before these folks. There's not going to be enough left. Pastor Tim is here. And it's gluten-free. Dave is here. Chandler's here. They will wolf down that food in a minute. But Elisha said, listen, God says they will eat and there will be leftovers. And that is what happened. Leftovers a go-go. Actually, if we take the totality of the Bible, this Elisha story, we put it with, from the beginning, and we put it with this story in the book of John, we can see Elisha really is a foreshadowing of Jesus, who is what we read originally at the beginning of the service, who is the bread of life. So I want to focus a minute on the boy who was loafing around with the food. We don't know much about him, but apparently he was willing to give up the food that he had. And while it isn't much, it was something, right? Something to help. And he, like the woman, you remember the woman who only had one mite to give or one penny? She put it in the offering plate. She gave Jesus everything that she had. Here's this boy. That's all he's got. 2 fish, 5 loaves. Here you go, Jesus. And so as Stacy and I were talking, she taught some things to me, a couple of lessons that we could learn from this little guy, and I want to share those with you there. It's very short. You can jot it down if you want on the back of your bulletin. The first is this: bring to the Lord what is available. What do you have that's available that can help somebody or help the church or whatever it is? Bring it to the Lord. Lord, here's what I have at this moment. Can you use it? Can somebody else use it? I want to help in any way that I can. It's pretty simple. Secondly, pray for God to multiply the resources at hand. Jesus did that. We do that when we're praying for the offering and stuff like that. I believe God still loves to do the awesome. He loves to multiply. And this doesn't just mean food or finances. The true multiplying comes when we lead people to Jesus Christ. They're discipled, and then they lead others to Jesus Christ. That's where the multiplication is really important. And then number three, we praise God that he is able to use what we have way beyond our imaginations. Have you ever seen God do that in your life? You know, we have so much here. You all know it. I talk about it every week. The Cedars Bible Studies, Financial Peace University, which, by the way, we just graduated another class the other week. The marriage enrichment thing, we've got like 20 people signed up already for that. I mean, it's filling up faster than I ever thought. Things are really moving. Jail ministries, services, volunteers, mission day. We had a bunch of people go out and help some folks. Sunday school, you know, we've got Annette and Megan and all the kids ministries, music ministries, senior ministries, tech crew. We got it all over this place. God has really multiplied ministry here at Lebanon First Baptist Church. But you know, he not only keeps us strong in those things, God continues to ramp it up. That's what I like about God. He continues to just ramp things up. And I'll be blunt and bold. If you don't feel God is ramping things up around here, it's because you're not involved or an attitude precludes you from experiencing what God is doing in the life of his church. I want to finish. It's pretty quick today, isn't it? You guys might get out of here earlier. So let me pause for 10 minutes and we'll sit in silence for a few moments. Well, I'd like to finish off with something that struck me as interesting in this story. All of it's interesting, but in this John 6 story, we find 12 baskets of leftovers, right? 12 baskets. That's incredible. Do you know what those leftovers were? Remember? Huh? Bread. Right? Was there any fish left? Doesn't say so, does it? It was 12 baskets of bread. Why was there no fish left over? I thought about that. Bread, you had the fish. Why wouldn't you have fish, man? I like fish. I actually would eat more fish than I would bread. And it doesn't seem right that there's no fish left, right? Unless those of us at the corral ate it all and there was just nothing left to scrambles left. But even then, you would think that Jesus would have a few baskets of fish left as he multiplied everything else, as he multiplied the bread. And I got to thinking, maybe there was not fish because he has given us a job to do. So in Minnesota, right, it's huge in regards to fishing. Anybody fished in Minnesota? I know some people have been to the Boundary Waters and other places. You know, the license plate says there's 10,000 lakes, meaning 10,000 natural lakes. Now, that's man-made stuff, guys. It's natural lakes created by glaciers, Paul Bunyan, and Babe the Blue Ox, right? So you've got all those lakes, and actually when they count them up, they say there's probably about 15,000 natural lakes. But when I was a kid, we would go out to the lake, and we'd have those homemade bamboo fishing poles. Do you guys remember those? Dad would stick a string on the end, poke it in the end of the bamboo, and you'd have a little hook on the end of this string. So we'd go out fishing, and if Mom had leftover bread that was a little bit old, we would take it, and we'd use it at the lake. We'd wad it up in little pieces and roll it like that, stick it on the hook. And then when we were loafing around by the shore or loafing around on the dock or whatever it is, we'd drop our line in the lake, and sure enough, we would catch some fish. Sunnies and bluegill seemed to like that. Are you getting where I'm going? Earlier we read John 6:35 where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." He didn't say, "I'm the fish of life." That'd be kind of awkward, wouldn't it? I mean, you can't throw fish in water and catch bread. But you can throw bread in water and catch fish. Can you see the bread represents Jesus? For he is the bread of life. And when we accept him, we are overflowing with bread. That bread comes out of us. And now we go out, we cast this bread, we cast Jesus into the community, wherever we are, at work or wherever, and we catch fish. And then as we sing, we reel them in, right? For the saving grace of Jesus Christ, all into the arms of Christ. You know, Matthew 4:19, can't say it any better than anybody else. It says, "I will make you fishers of men if" what? "If you follow me." So when we follow Jesus, we have that bread of life. How do we fish for people? We cast the bread of Jesus out. The ministries that we have here are designed to cast the bread of heaven into our community. And so we bring to the Lord whatever we have available. Whatever we have available. Asking God to multiply. Praising his name that he's able to use whatever we have. Use our resources beyond even our imaginations. And I guess I would describe a Christian as a loafer. In a good way. I should have worn my loafers today, right? A Christian, I think, is, at least we're supposed to be, people who are filled with that bread. Sharing that bread all the time with people in order to catch a hold of others for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I think truly Jesus is the bread of life. Do you think that? I hope you do. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you again for who you are. You are the bread of life. And we thank you that we have such great opportunity to share you with others here in our community, of course. But Lord, leading people to you, we know it's the Holy Spirit that convicts and stuff, but since we're the light, since we have that bread of you inside of us, we need to start feeding some people. Would you help us to do that? Would you help us to go out and even as we meet people, just love on them in a special way, start inviting people into your family, inviting them to know you, inviting them to your house on Sunday or to a Bible study or to a marriage retreat, whatever it is, Lord, just speak to us and help us to follow you. We thank you for all the music that was involved today and for those that put everything together. And I want to thank you for these people that are here today. Would you pour your blessing upon them as they celebrate Thanksgiving around their tables this coming week? We do thank you. It's incredible how you've blessed us. And so, Heavenly Father, as we leave this place today, if there is anybody that does not know you or needs to be, re-engaged with you or just have a word of prayer or is down and out and just needs some time to be with you and have some prayer, just have them come forward on this closing song. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for working in our hearts and our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.